Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
This year, you know, I'm digging on soccer, right?
Right.
I can't understand a word this dude is saying. He is talking about an English soccer game.
Okay.
And the anchor asks him a question. See if you can make out what this dude is saying.
Has Everton gone close recently, Dean Windass?
No, they haven't, John. They went behind Jeff, John, Steve, whatever your name is. They went behind Jeff.
I heard nervous.
So wow. Picky on, is that Race Jagielka? And you think he'd go on? He goes round Howard. You think
Howard.
He'd go on, just tap in with your left foot. And he drags it back. He sends Jagielka for a pie.
Al Capone.
Howard stands up and he tries to place it. Hits Howard in the chest.
Comes back out.
Still nil-nil. Jack.
Jack.
What?
Wow.
He's at the cutting edge of broadcasting, isn't he?
Broadcasting. Yeah. There was one time I had a friend who, I'd met a woman from England and a woman from Scotland, and the woman from England had to be the interpreter between my Southern accent and her Scottish accent.
I had listened to that thing four or five times, had no idea what that guy was saying. Mm-hmm. It's up online right now.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Blue Dog Investigations in studio right now. This one doesn't have any local tie-ins, really, that we know of yet. But Tracy from Blue Dog sent us this email, and it was such an intriguing story that we thought, you know what, let's share this, because this could be pretty, pretty cool. This one doesn't have anybody that's looking for somebody from 1987 or 97. We're going back to World War II for this one.
The story is that I got an email from a woman. We're calling her Nevo because I can't pronounce her name.
Okay.
But her father was 11 years old. In 1945, and he was living in a village called Nove that's 70 miles north of Venice. A plane came over the mountains, and they saw flames. They were all out tree cutting. So this was kind of what they did for work. He was
now,
with his mom.
Here. This is 1945.
Right.
World War II is going on.
Right.
And this is hard for us to embrace because we've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But every single day in your backyard, there could be soldiers, there are gunfire, bullets. You got planes overhead. So this is part of the daily routine in Italy every day back in 1945.
And he's 11 years old.
This is what's going
on in his life. So he and his sister and his mother are out cutting trees. The whole village is out cutting trees. I don't know if this is their job or what they're doing, but plane comes over the mountains. They see fire. They run. Away from, you know, the flames of this plane coming over. And then it breaks into pieces and falls down around this 11-year-old boy.
Whoa. Okay?
And this is my client Nevo's father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the debris are three bodies. Okay. Let's see if I can keep all the, who they were. The pilot, they had different positions, but what she's actually looking for is family of the pilot.
So this was an American plane.
Yes.
Okay. That had flown over and had broken apart.
An American military plane?
Mm. American military plane.
Okay.
They were the 71st Bombardment Squadron, 450th mm-hmm. Bombardment Group,
mm-hmm.
known as the Cottontails, from the 47th Wing, 15th Air Force, United States Army.
And this is information she had already before she emailed you, or this
Some
is stuff that you've had?
Some pieces she had, and then other pieces I've put together.
Okay.
Based
so,
on some stuff that she had already gathered.
So her father and some other villagers—
Right.
In the backyard, plane crashes. There are three American soldiers in that plane. All of them die in that plane crash.
There were nine altogether.
Nine. Okay.
Six were taken hostage.
Okay.
Wow. From my research, I've discovered that at least two were liberated. And I have letters that they wrote home and all kinds of cool stuff. So.
Okay.
So two had been released. I don't know what remained of the other four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were ever released or what happened. But three were killed, and Second Lieutenant Edward Lee was the pilot,
mm-hmm.
and that's who we're looking for. Not him, he was killed, but his family,
mm-hmm.
Any surviving family, which would probably be children, grandchildren at this point.
And why did she want to find the pilot in particular? Or his family?
Why the pilot, especially, I guess, because he was sort of in charge and... I don't know why him in particular.
What does she say that she wants to do and if she finds him?
She said in her own words, why am I doing this? Because we must remember. Today, Italy is a democratic country, thanks also to the sacrifice of Edward. Wow. Too often we forget how much the liberty cost.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now at that time,
fascinating.
The Allies won the war, obviously, and they were fighting against Italy at that point in 1945. But since the Allies won, she has her freedom. So she's looking for this pilot to say thank you.
Wow.
For beating her country in the war.
So she must be into history, too, in order for her to research her father's life when he was so young and these, you know, names. I mean, she must be going through family albums and history and journals and everything in Italian.
Well, being that her father was alive during this time and had this occurrence happen to him, then World War II is very, you know, very dear to her in researching it and finding out history about it.
Where does she live? Did we talk about where she lives? I'm sorry.
She's still in Nove.
So she is
in a little village.
Okay, so that's part of their culture is, you know, this is just a generation ago, you know?
Right. So she's a branch manager of a bank there.
The way the email is written is so cute. Because it's in sort of like broken English. It's in Italian and it's in broken English. And I wanted, it's so cute that I wanted to read the whole email, but it would have taken way too long.
Yeah.
So why did they contact you? I mean, there are so many private investigating firms.
I'm not exactly sure. Some things, and this happens quite a bit when I have people and we're exchanging emails, I'll ask specific questions and some come back answered and others don't. So that I've asked, you know, why exactly me? But I did find clearly a Georgia connection. And
really?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
The wife, they have a missing air crew report when his plane went down and everybody got sent, your husband or son is missing, was sent to his wife, Mary Lou Lee. And her address at that time was 260 Glendale Avenue in Decatur.
Well, of course it was Georgia because Mary Lou.
Yeah, right.
You got it. Yeah. Mary Lou. Well, she's in the South somewhere.
Wow.
Exactly.
Whoa, that's
so
insane.
Where are you in the investigation now?
Probably going back to property records and things. You've got on this one, I'm going to have to kind of go back to then come forward to try to find more information about Mary Lou.
Why don't we just, if your name is Mary Lou or someone in your family's name's Mary Lou.
Indicator.
Yeah, call us.
Right. I'm assuming, now he was stationed in at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery before he was deployed to Italy. So there's probably a Montgomery connection. Decatur may have actually also been, because what happened quite a bit is at that time, was they would be married, but then the wife would go live with his family while she was, while he was, you know, away. So it could be his family that she was living with.
It's an interesting story, man. Just that she like wants to thank somebody for her Italian freedom. But that sounds so Italian to me. You know, like they're celebrating life every day and she feels like she needs to grip onto it and thank the very people that gave Italy their freedom. It sounds very Italian.
Well, just figure this out over a bottle of Chianti sitting in some vineyard.
Let me tell you something, lady. You thanked us with Olive Garden. Because when, when I'm there, I'm family. And I don't need you to find anybody. Just keep those breadsticks coming.
Well, we want to follow up with you like in the next couple of weeks and see if you get any. And there's something very romantic about like a World War II story that has some local roots to it.
Right.
It's amazing. It sounds like a movie plot.
It does,
you know,
right?
The beginning of one, at least.
And so basically, you're in search. And we're not asking you guys to call if there's any. We're not looking for a connection here. We just thought it was a very interesting story.
Oh, this isn't Pilot Lost and Found?
World War II Pilot Lost and Found. So basically, this this American soldier was shot down over Italy in World War II, and this Italian woman just wants to find his family to thank her for her Italian freedom. So we'll get Tracy back in here in like a couple of weeks, couple of months, whatever it takes. It would be great if you could do it before Memorial.
Oh, it would be awesome.
That would be very
that's
great.
That's the goal. We'll see what can happen.
Why don't you work on that, right?
Great.
All right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks,
thanks
for coming.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so this is the kid here that is starting to make some waves already, man. Some are calling him the next Justin Bieber. Jen Hobby thinks this kid's better than Justin Bieber.
I love this kid. His name is Grayson Chance. He is like a 12-year-old sixth grader who was recorded at his school talent show. And then the video's up online. I think a listener called earlier this morning to say there was like 8 million hits on his video by last night. So Everybody's paying attention to him. And he's getting compared to Justin Bieber because that's how Justin started as well, with YouTube videos.
And he's going to be on Ellen DeGeneres already. This just happened over the last 48 hours. But YouTube and the internet has changed everything.
Right.
You know, there was a time where you had to do this whole dance of if you wanted a song played, you had to get a record label. Then they had to pitch the radio station and get your song on the radio. Those days are over, man. Mm-hmm. If you are good and you are talented, somebody's going to find you online, right? And somebody found this kid, Grayson Chase. This is the song that we played for you yesterday. And this is him just doing his thing at his talent show. Years old, right? But maybe he's just like, he's got that one song that he just kicks ass at, right? So he doesn't have anything else. So I go online yesterday and find out, man, this kid can sing. What he does is he just sets up video in his living room and just starts doing his thing, and they're all great. Listener called up this morning and said that he's writing his own songs also.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, this is it. The two videos he has online in addition to Paparazzi are his own.
Good for him. Incredible.
Then there's this one. This one's called, maybe Stars? I thought Jen would get a whole bunch of heat yesterday when she said that this kid is better than Justin Bieber. But even like the 15-year-olds were tweeting and emailing and Facebooking us yesterday saying she's right, that people like Justin Bieber because he's so damn cute. But this kid is really talented.
Yeah, this is the real deal.
This might be the real deal.
Right? And supposedly he's going to be on Ellen today.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
All right, this next piece of audio, this is only going to work, I think, if you guys come over here and you look at the video as I'm playing it.
Now, you realize, before this happened, you know, there's some Elvis people who still think that Elvis is alive.
Totally.
So is this kind of, this is what I'm thinking, is that now the Michael Jackson people are thinking this.
Agreed, because you remember when Michael Jackson passed away, that sort of grainy video of Michael getting into an ambulance from a hospital? People were talking about that. Now the conspiracy theorists think that Michael Jackson showed up on Larry King after his death. And this is what he sounded like. And we have this video up online right now, Q100Atlanta.com. I'm just saying there's a 0.001% chance that this might be real. Come on.
Action friend attending the funeral. And Dave, yes, that's his name, Dave. He was David Rothenberg. He was set on fire in 1983, suffered, as you can see, terrible scars. Michael Jackson befriended him and paid for a lot of his surgeries. Dave is also attending the burial. Why Dave?
Well, to liberate myself from the confines of my father's criminality.
He caused the fire?
Can you guys hear? Yeah. There's like a little Michael Jackson-ish in there?
Caused all this. To free myself of his name and his legacy, I decided to become my own person through changing my name.
We'll find out how Michael helped you.
Like, he's been burned so badly that it looks as though it's like a makeup job in a movie.
Stories of people in need.
But not feeling it?
That be Michael Jackson, because there's pictures of them when they were friends, when Michael was still alive, and it's two different people hugging each other. How could he then be Michael Jackson?
Unless that really, the first picture.
You can do anything you want with Photoshop, Jen Hyland.
And the voice is just like close enough, like
Is the thought that he's just trying to send a signal out to his fans that he's still alive and he's showing up on Larry King?
You know how he could send that signal out to his fans? It's just by appearing somewhere and going, I'm not dead. It's one way to send a signal.
You know, that's not the way Michael Jackson would do
things. Well, the idea, I think, behind with Elvis and now Michael Jackson is that their fame was crippling them and suffocating them. So it's very, you know, very much like, well, if you fake your own death, then people are off your back. You know, paparazzi's off your back, people are off your back, and you get to try to live a normal life.
The pressure was too great, you couldn't handle it, so you checked out. I'm the same.
Like Eddie and the Cruiser. Old school movie, Eddie and the Cruiser, same kind of, you know, that's the plot of that movie.
If you drop out, if you're disappearing, that you don't go on Larry King. Well, I guess, I mean, who's really watching Larry King anyways?
Old
so maybe that's the one you do show, do you?
His wife's sister.
Yeah.
Well, you do if you're Michael Jackson. Okay, and this last piece, this is going to be either really funny or really irritating. Everybody knows what World of Warcraft is, right?
Yes.
This online game.
It's like one of the first multiplayer online games, and because it's been around so long, it is like the biggest. So,
and people are hardcore about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes like different levels, and once you get into it, you get so sucked into it. Like, people have it's gotten serious. Like, they've committed suicide. Like, kids have committed suicide.
It's like a drug, right?
Yeah, when their World of Warcraft character dies, kids have like committed suicide. Wow. So that's how intense this game can be. So this shot, and we have the video up online right now, is obviously like two college kids. And one kid is sitting on the couch, and he's watching TV, and he's looking over his shoulder into the camera. And what he's done is he has changed his roommate's World of Warcraft's password. So you can't. So you can see this guy struggling to get online, and he can't, while the other kid is looking into the computer, and he's just laughing. Because this kid is having a meltdown. Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of F words in here that have been beeped out, but if you have kids, you're probably going to be able to make out what's going on.
And something you want to listen for on this is Josh always misses one curse word. So this
are we sure that all of them have been bleeped
so
out?
So, no, this is fun for you, but it's really fun for me. Hold, please.
We call this FCC roulette.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, my God. What the f***?
Oh.
I can't even log on to the...
What is it?
Alright, so I think my account got hacked from some...
Uh-oh. Here he goes.
Blizzard! I did not enter my password, you...
Wow.
Whoa. Intense. Temper tantrum.
Much better video than it is audio, but you got to go on and check it out.
That is actually could have been mistaken for the audio of when Bert's computer printer didn't work. And it said warming up for 40 straight minutes.
Yes.
We will put that up online, but we will have to put a warning up there. Like, this contains a whole bunch of F words. Here is Chris. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bird Show, by the way, long-time listener, love the show.
Thank you.
Just so you know, about the whole Michael Jackson deal,
yeah.
There was an interview he did some time ago when he filmed, like, Smooth Criminal,
uh-huh.
and he had to go out on, he had to dress up in costume, and he went out around the town, and he said nobody knew who he was, and he loved that feeling. He said he loved the feeling when he could talk to people and no one knew who the heck he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I believe it's possible that he might do it again.
Like, if this, his life has been so freakish that anything still is possible. I mean, it would this would be the only thing about Michael Jackson that would really surprise him. Out of all the stories that we've ever heard about.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have done that to his kids.
Yeah, probably not.
Had he been a single guy and not a father, mm-hmm. I would have said maybe he would have done something that freaky, but I don't think he would torture his kids like that.
His kids think
their dad died.
Right. That's not a really funny joke.
Not really funny.
No, not really.
Not so much.
All right, we will see you guys tomorrow. All those videos up online, Q100Atlanta.com.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bert Show.
So Brittany is a Bert Show listener who joined us just a week or two ago, right? And
mm-hmm.
was telling us about these weird things that she found her boyfriend doing. I remember one of them was like she couldn't find his wallet all of a sudden. Like he was keeping it in his pocket or he used to leave it on his desk. And
he was like also shutting down his computer every time he got up from his desk, like to go to the kitchen and get a mm-hmm. snack or something. Mm-hmm. He would completely log out. So you needed a password to get back into the computer. He wasn't leaving anything open.
So we're going to get Brittany on the phone. Natalie, just so you know, Brittany's going to be on the voice disguiser. So is that cool? And then the private investigator is not. We good with that? All right. Sorry. Hey, I'm just
I'm not passing judgment.
I'm just making sure it's all cool. Hey, Brittany, welcome to the Bert Show.
Hi.
How are you?
Good morning.
I'm good.
Good. You're on the voice disguiser. Remind us again, if you could, quickly, what some of the things were that he was doing that was raising kind of an alert with you.
Well, just being unable, like for random periods during the day, you know, just being unable to reach him. I've kind of felt like maybe he wasn't where, you know, where he says he is during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always logging out of the computer, having multiple email addresses, things like that.
And how long was this going on for? Has this been going on for?
For a while, several months.
Okay.
But you said there was nothing else that was giving you that hunch, just little tiny things. But he was still spending lots of time with you on the weekends and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Okay.
We recruited somebody Bert knows who has become a private investigator.
Mm-hmm. He's the bomb.
And asked him if he could. He was the guy who helped us with the townhouse situation.
The mystery, yes. Okay. I'm just curious,
The townhome mystery that mm-hmm. turned out to be cats. And so he did such a good job cracking that case that stumped Frankie. We will.
Stop. Well, you stunk him.
Frankie
did
a great job.
He was going on what Frankie had already investigated. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
So we put him on this case, and he actually, and he'll explain this, but he put Britney's boyfriend under surveillance.
Whoa.
Isn't that cool?
Britney's got to be so nervous right now. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Jason, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I think we're doing good. Bert's not here. It's Stacy's birthday, so he took her out of town.
Oh, okay.
But
cool.
You know that because you follow him everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have a tracking device on his vehicle, so we just sit there and watch him on the computer, you know?
Is that from you or from Stacy?
Well, from Stacy. Yeah, a little while back.
Now, Jason, we're going to have you talk directly to Brittany as long as you promise us that her boyfriend was not going to feed stray cats.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that. I'll give it away. Okay.
Brittany,
can
you
hear everybody? Can I talk to everybody?
Yep.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, of course.
And Brittany, you can hear Jason, right?
I can.
Okay. So you can just explain to her what you did, Jason, and what the result of that was.
Well, we had three investigators that left out about 7:45, and we went to get in position and waited on him to leave the house. That morning, and I think Brittany will tell you I was a little nervous that he was not going to come out. I called her, I think about 9:50 and said, "Hey, what's the deal? Did we miss him?" But he came out, and like she said, he went to local Quick Trip and gassed up, and I think he went inside and got a drink, and that's when we were hoping that the female that he was showing a little bit of affection to in front of the door was not Brittany, but unfortunately it was. So she went to the same Quick Trip.
Oh, and, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
So you guys all like high-fiving each other. We got him! And then you find out it's...
just that quick, you know. We saw her get out of the vehicle and she went over in front of the door and he kind of put his arm around her. Brittany, you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
She's like, yeah.
We thought we had him. We thought, hey, you know, this is going to be easy here. But, you know, we figured out that was our client. And but he left there, and we followed him. We were going north, at which time I felt like we were going to his home office because Brittany had told me where his home office was. But we didn't go that far north. We went to a car dealership where he got his oil changed. And I tell you, it took him forever to change his oil. But so far, I mean, you know, I think we sat there for about an hour and a half waiting on him to leave.
Mm-hmm. And you just go to a quick oil change, you'd be in that in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
I mean, they might forget to put the plug in and your engine will seize up, and but you're in and out.
Yeah. So he leaves there. And he goes to a restaurant not far from the car dealership.
Okay.
And we're thinking, okay, you know, maybe we're on to something here. He's going to meet someone for lunch. This will be great. We'll just hang out because it wasn't quite lunchtime. It was getting there, but it wasn't quite lunchtime. So we thought, okay, we'll hang out here for a little bit, and he'll meet someone for lunch. Well, we sat there for probably, I won't say another hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
And he's at the back. He's in a back parking spot, kind of in the corner mm-hmm. of a restaurant. And Investigator Joe, y'all remember Joe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, big old Joe.
Yeah, big Joe. And Joe kept wanting to get out. Let me just get out. And I said, no, Joe, you don't understand. If somebody sees you one time, then they will remember you for the rest of their life. But Joe was kind of watching him, and he said that he was on the phone the whole time.
Okay.
Which may explain, you know, sometimes why you can't get in touch with him. I don't know if it's business mm-hmm. that he's doing on the phone, but he was on the phone pretty much the whole time he was there, and then he was on his computer. So I called the restaurant, and I said, hey, guys, do you have free Wi-Fi? And they said, yes. So, you know, our guess was he was back there Wi-Fiing, but...
Gotcha. So that would make sense. He'd pick a restaurant he knows has Wi-Fi, go there, get some work done.
Yeah, and I mean, he went straight there. So, I mean, he knew. I mean, you know, he knew that there was Wi-Fi there because he went straight there.
Okay.
So I guess about an hour and 15 minutes later, he backs out. We follow him to another Quick Trip. And what I pretty much determined at the second Quick Trip, I think he buys one of those drinks in the morning where you get free refills.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the 48-ouncers.
There you go, the big old
I know, it's the big gulp. I've got those down.
There you go. Okay, well, I think he buys those, so he went into another Quick Trip and got a refill and bought a few things. Didn't stay there long, and we started back following him, and he went straight back to that restaurant.
So nothing suspicious so far, and this is already midway through the afternoon.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And to be honest with you, the other investigators were chomping at the bits. I mean, they were wanting, you know, they were like, oh, my God, come on, he's got to do something. But at 2 o'clock, we caught it.
Oh.
Because at that point, we had about 6 hours in it, and we had some other things that we needed to take care of on Wednesday. So at 2 o'clock, we caught it.
We called it or caught it. I can't
called
understand.
It. So in the end, nothing that was a uneventful, boring day, but nothing significant came of the investigation.
That is correct. Very uneventful and very boring.
So what is the
weird?
What's the next step?
Well, Brittany had sent me an email that evening, pretty late that evening, saying that she felt good about the following day because he had an appointment that was a little bit questionable.
Right.
You remember that?
Right, yeah.
But unfortunately, I did not get that email until like 6:30 the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, you know, it's too late for me to change, to rearrange my schedule today.
Huh.
Because I was already packed out yesterday. So
Gotcha.
I told her to get another day that she felt good about to try to figure out what his schedule was for next week.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jason, is it possible that she's just too paranoid about this guy? Because sounds pretty basic and normal and slightly boring to me.
Well, Jan, I'll be honest with you. When people make it to me, when they contact me,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They already know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they know that they know that they know. You know what I'm saying?
They just need proof.
Exactly. They just need they want concrete proof. They want peace of mind. They come to me with specifics. Okay, he did this on such and such day, or you know, she left out on Saturday night saying that she was going out for a girls' night out. But I know that her girlfriend over here did not go to girls' night out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they
right.
usually just have something concrete. Or something a little bit more than what Brittany has here. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that he's not. I mean, the only thing I can say is in the 6 hours that we were there, he didn't do anything but stay on the phone and get on his laptop.
Hey, Brittany, is there anything that Jason could do or anything? Like, what is going to convince you that your boyfriend's not doing anything?
I don't know. Probably nothing.
So even if he doesn't find anything and he tracked him for weeks and weeks, you would still think that he's screwing around?
Well, I mean, no, maybe. I mean, probably not, but I don't know. I just think some of the weird habits and behaviors and, you know, just, I don't know, even unwilling to explain, you know, where he's been or what he's been doing. I just know there has to be a reason for that, you know.
You got the woman's intuition thing going on for sure.
If that's you know, I mean, if that's the way you feel, there's nothing that can happen or change it. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing's going to make it better. Mm-hmm. That Jason could go out and follow him, and he could go sit in parking lots and look at Wi-Fi all day and fill up his Quick Trip mug.
Right.
Every day, and she's still not going to buy into it. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry, you know, Brittany, that we didn't have more information from you. Everybody is calling up, though, with the same theory, which is something that I thought. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
What's going on?
Love the show.
Thanks.
I believe that he's out of a job and doesn't want to tell you.
That was my thought. Like, he gets up in the morning, leaves for work, and gets his drink,
it's
and then he
theory.
Goes and he hangs out where he can use Wi-Fi, and he didn't go into the restaurant. Like,
yeah,
he sat in his car and used the computer.
That's
like
a great theory.
He doesn't want to go in the restaurant because then he's got to order a drink or mm-hmm. you know, appetizer or something. He doesn't want to spend any money, and he just goes and sits in the car and sends out his resume maybe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's calling up with that same theory. So
aww.
We will I know Tracy's going to put Jason and Brittany back, you know, connect them, and if
okay.
If Jason feels there's something noteworthy, then they'll go back out and they'll look again and we'll get an update then. But as of right now, this guy's off the hook.
Do we have Jason's information up online if anybody wants to use his PI services?
We absolutely will make sure that it's up online. So anybody who needs a private investigator can use one of the ones that helps out the Burt Show so much. And that information will be online at Q100Atlanta.com.
Get it? The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Burt Show.
Dude, this have you guys checked out the story about the flight that crashed in Tripoli?
No.
Well, we talked about it.
I mean, Melissa talked a little bit about it yesterday.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. There was just one survivor. Yeah. It was a 10-year-old boy who is a Dutch boy who survived the crash. Like 103 people were killed on this crash. It was a plane that was coming from Johannesburg, and it was landing in Tripoli, and then it was going to head on to France. And it crash-landed in Tripoli, so it was not a successful landing. But like I said, the 10-year-old boy is the only one to survive the entire flight.
I mean,
have they figured out how he survived it?
Like, they don't know yet. I mean, they were still sorting through the wreckage and stuff yesterday, so they haven't been able to figure out anything. But just the fact that this is the one lone survivor. Mm-hmm. In how many people?
103.
103 people.
Wow.
I mean, that's a life changer right there.
The passengers and the crew, everybody except him.
I mean, he's too young now to have these questions, but in a couple of years, he's going to start thinking like, what am I on this earth to do?
The sad thing is you assume his parents are on the flight with him. Nobody said, but I assume he was traveling with family, which is just tragic. You know?
It's awful.
He is, did you mention this, that he's one of 14 different cases where they've had plane crashes and there's only been one survivor?
Mm-mm.
I looked this up
14
yesterday.
Ever? In the history of the world?
History of aviation, recorded.
But that's not like if there's three people on the flight and one survivor, that doesn't count, does it?
I don't know what the statistics for it are, but I'm sure it's much grander than that. So let's assume these next couple stories I'm telling you about are pretty major flights. And it's one person living that really is going to look at their life forever and go,
well, and
I got to have another purpose here.
And they're going to struggle with survivor's guilt, too, for a long time, I would imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I here and they're not? Why am I here and my parents aren't?
Right.
A 22-year-old flight attendant. This one might be the most shocking, and this is a Guinness Book of World Records right here. A 22-year-old flight attendant was the lone survivor on a crash in 1972. The plane crashed 33,000 feet.
Mm.
33,000 feet into the snow after a bomb on board an hour into the flight. She was reportedly in the tail section as the plane fell, and a food tray acted like a seatbelt and held her against the plane, and she survived it. She was in a coma for 27 days.
Whoa.
All the passengers, all the crew were killed, except she was the only one that survived. 33,000 feet. That's like at the height of any flight.
Mm-hmm.
You start going down, and that's a bomb. So,
Wow. Yeah. I just can't imagine. Yeah, the trauma. I mean, how do you get over something like that? though.
She does interviews and stuff now, and she got real political. I don't know how I could ever get on a plane again, but she does worldwide interviews still talking about it. She's got no problem getting on a plane. That's my last flight.
Oh, wow. My God, yes. Yes.
Annette Hefkins, 31, was the only survivor when a Vietnam Airlines plane crashed into a mountain in 1992. Took 8 days for rescue crews to reach the wreckage. All of the crew members were dead. The passengers all died. Some reports say Herfkins told authorities that other survivors died while waiting to be rescued. So some of them survived. And then while she's laying there on the ground or whatever, others are dying around her. She's the lone survivor of that flight, right?
And I wonder, like, how did she find food or water during that time? Did she have broken bones? Was she, like, sitting there, you know, with broken legs or something? I mean,
you got to assume she couldn't be able to get around real well, right? These are fascinating to me, and there's been 14 cases. Two more here. Erica Delgado, 9 years old, survived a mid-air explosion of an Intercontinental Airlines. Mid-air explosion in 1995 near Colombia. She was reportedly thrown from the plane as it was making an emergency landing and was found in a swamp by a farmer.
You are kidding me.
There's a movie. There's like a made-for-TV movie about that story.
That sounds like a movie story.
Doesn't it?
It doesn't sound like a real story. And so it must have been the swamp that, you know, cradled her fall a little bit, right?
I don't know, man. In cases like this, I think it's divine intervention. Like in that very first story I told you guys about, they did a History Channel special on it. I couldn't find it yesterday. But like 9 things had to go right. It's almost like that Sully flight where everything had to go just right for her to survive. Like the way the plane crashed and the angle that it was on and how she was pinned up against the wall of the airplane with that food tray. There were like 9 different things. And I'm looking at it going, it's divine intervention. Like it's that makes me believe somebody said it's their time, but I got something for you. You know?
Yeah. I think that's the way you survive, mentally survive that. I think that's a coping mechanism. Would have to be, you know?
That God has something planned for
because,
me.
Because, I mean, they witnessed everybody else perishing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
God.
And this
you could never get that out of your mind. The noises, the sounds, the flashbacks, all of that.
Yeah.
Think about if you've ever been in a car accident, how you can never really get the sound of that steel on steel out of your head. Now imagine a plane crash, right?
And imagine people dying around you. Mm-hmm. God.
And in 1985, a turboprop plane operated by Galaxy Airlines crashed shortly after takeoff in Nevada, killed all 71 passengers. 2 of them actually died later, leaving 17-year-old George Lamson Jr. as the only survivor. Listen to this, okay? He was reportedly thrown from the aircraft and landed upright still in his seat when they found him.
Wow. What?
Yes. He was the only survivor of that crash. So there's been 14 throughout the entire world, including this 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does make you think, like, okay, what's in store? What's in store for me, right?
This is The Bert Show.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.